Welcome to the Product Design Podcast. I'm your host, Seth Coolin, founder of UX Cabin, where we create world-class web and mobile apps. I'm excited to bring you a behind-the-scenes look into the lives of some of the most interesting and talented people in product design. We'll get strategic advice on how they got to where they are today and things they wish they would have known earlier in their career. Hey, welcome to the Product Design Podcast. Today we have Simran with us. She is a graduate student and an incoming product design intern at Meta. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So you have a really unique background and angle as to how you've been able to, you know, secure some really top-notch interviews and internships. Really excited to get to know your journey a little bit more. Why don't you start out and just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I'm originally from India and I moved to the United States in 2021. So I came here to study human-computer interaction. I'm currently a graduate student at Indiana University, Bloomington. My background was in software engineering. And I didn't always know I had to pursue design, but you know, there was something during my bachelor's degree which pushed me in this direction, and here I am. So I'm also, as you mentioned, an incoming product design intern at Meta starting next week. And super excited for that and really excited to talk to you as well.
Awesome. So maybe tell a little bit of background on how you started to go into computer science. What even led you to that? And then what led you to come over to the States?
Sure. So I think most of the people, I didn't know what I wanted to do after I finished like my junior college or high school. I had some passion for computers and technology. So I was like, okay, let's start studying computer science. It kind of sounds fun. So I got my bachelor's degree in engineering and information technology. And during the bachelor's degree, I realized that we code so many things and not necessarily like everything which we make is usable by people. And there are a lot of people still who find technology so difficult to use. So I kept studying this problem and then I discovered something called as user experience design. Completely unaware of UX design before that. And I started studying it. I started watching YouTube videos, reading a few articles on Medium. And I found it to be super, super interesting. So, and it is also something which really helps solve a lot of people's problems. So that is how I decided that, yeah, I'm really interested in design. But still, there was a long way to go, right? Like I was doing my bachelor's in computer science. I didn't really have a design background, so it was so difficult to get a job in design. But, you know, at that point, I knew that, okay, I probably want to make a switch. And then is when the actual hard part started of getting a job and then actually starting my career.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I guess I'll preempt this with a story on my end. So I actually started out in front-end development and I got my first job as a front-end developer. And about a year into my job, I was like, I like front-end. I think it's cool, but I think I can be a lot better at design. And I have kind of like a ceiling on my personal like skill set in development. And I could be good and go on, but I think I have like a higher ceiling in design.
Yeah.
How did you, determine that you wanted to turn away from being fully an engineer and go into design?
Well, I think there were a few internships during my bachelor's degree where I was actually like making these apps or even the projects where I was coding something out. And when I used to go and show those projects to people or a few of my professors, I always had to like explain them how to make it work. Like, you have to click over here, you have to click over there, and then that is how it's going to function. And I always found that a little odd because I don't have to explain what I've made. People should understand. So I think, yeah, that is how I decided that, design is what I wanted to, so.
Cool. Yeah, and then what led you to come over to the States?
Well, after my bachelor's degree, I struggled a lot to find like a design job. everyone else was, you know, getting these high paying salaries in software engineering. And then there was me who was, you know, struggling to find a job in design. But after that, I was fortunate enough to land a job as a product designer. And then I decided that, you know what, I want to learn all the theory behind design. I want to meet people who, you know, actually are like me, who have, you know, studied design for a really long time. So I found this amazing program at IU, which had a human-computer interaction talk, taught a lot about design. So I decided to come to the state.
Wow, that's fascinating. We talk with people all the time who either got like a degree in like graphic design and then later on switched over to UX. We've talked with people who went through boot camps and made a career change, or people who have gone the self-taught route. I'd be really interested to hear your perspective of like going through something that is probably the closest thing we have to a UX degree, or even, you know, product design degree. I'd be really interested to hear your experience thus far in that.
Well, it has been like very good because before I used to learn a lot from YouTube videos and, you know, Medium blogs, that nothing was very structured. I would say like it was very random. I used to find one video on YouTube and just start learning from that. Then just like one random article on Medium or a podcast. But I think the curriculum over here is pretty structured. If I'm taking a class in design methods, like research methods, I only learn about those. I have professors who are always like willing to let a helping hand with all of the questions I have. We have projects from industry partners. So they come in and, you know, they give all these lectures on how things work in the real world. And even they are available to always mentor us. So I think the curriculum is very structured in a way. And there's like the right things which they provide you to read, which makes it like even more better from your end, because you don't have to take, you know, extra efforts to go on the internet and search for the right thing which you have to study. But they provide you all the material. So I think my experience so far has been really good in terms of like getting, you know, all the basics cleared and the foundation.
Sure. Yeah. Now, do you have like friends or associates who have gone different routes, who have done either self-taught route or boot camps or anything like that, that you were like comparing when you were deciding what you wanted to do?
I know a few people who had done graphic design or animation when I was working back in India as a designer, and then they had switched to UX design. So those people were kind of working as a UI designer before, and then they were making that switch to UX. I think most of the people were learning from the internet, because I don't think I've met anybody who has taken a boot camp yet.
Yeah.
But because there are so many resources online, and like everything's pretty good, like YouTube videos, podcasts, and Medium articles, they are so detailed and so informative that is enough for somebody to, you know, make a switch. I decided that I want to, you know, meet people who have been doing design for like 20 years. That's like my professors. And that is why I decided to, you know, come to the States to get a formal degree.
Sure. Yeah. There's certainly no one size fit all or like one prescribed route that folks need to take.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if there's like certain characteristics or, you know, personality types that do better in different environments. So I know you mentioned a lot of the structure that you get, and it kind of gives you the learning path, and you probably do really well when you have like deadlines and assignments and things versus, you know, someone who, if you're going to learn online or do the self-taught route, you probably have to like be pretty regimented and structured on your own self, which is a bit of extra overhead. I'd be curious to know if you notice anything particularly in yourself that you just know, you're self-aware enough to know, like, I would do better at a university environment.
I was looking for some sort of mentorship, because there are times when I feel that, you know, I am not good enough to probably go into design. And then always this fear inside me that, you know, I am not from a formal design background. I do not have a degree. I've not studied it properly as an academic career. So probably I would make a lot of mistakes. That is why being in a university where I have professors who are always ready to, you know, help. When I'm surrounded by like so many peers who, you know, so excellent at design, it's always very nice to, you know, go to them and talk about all these different things, get their feedback, study with them for interviews. And I think the general mentorship and the peer environment which I've got at university is something which I was kind of looking for when I wanted to make that switch. But I've seen a lot of people when I was back in India doing my job who are trying to make a switch from graphic or UI design to UX. They used to like just work in UI design, but always used to connect to a designer who was a UX person and then try to, you know, get feedback on how are they doing what they are doing, trying to learn from them. So I think just like going out and seeing what people are doing and learning from them is also like a very good way.
Yeah. One thing you mentioned in there about like being able to meet people and kind of build your network going from a university is probably the most valuable understated thing that people don't realize. I think you can probably get really good curriculum or really good education online or wherever. But like you said, I think the secret sauce to like why a university might be really advantageous is the network, the professors, the connections that you make from there.
Yeah. And you come and then you study other people's stories, how they approach getting a job or how they approach just general design. You meet them, you work in groups, you understand how they think. And I think that really expands your knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just doing YouTube tutorials online, that is really good and helpful, but you don't get to necessarily work with others or show your work to people or get feedback from people. So I certainly see how that can be a limitation.
And collaboration is like so important in any job which you have in design. Like you have to talk to engineers, you have to talk to other designers. You always have to work together. Like there would be very few circumstances in which you are working alone. So I think this environment also gives you an experience for that when you're, you know, actually stepping into the industry.
Yeah. So if there are other engineers listening and they, you know, potentially want to make the switch to product design, what would be your advice to them?
Well, I would say, first of all, there's no harm in trying out. If you think that, you know, UX is something for you, you should definitely give it a try. You never know what works out, because I think nothing worked out for me. Also, in the start, I was also struggling. I saw like other people getting all these fancy jobs, and here I was like still struggling and looking for a job. It might take a lot of time, but once you get there, once you have, which I've learned a lot, once you have gained some experience, everything would be wonderful. I would also say that the learning, there is a learning curve, and the learning might be a little slower, but you know, eventually you will get there. And it's never like you have learned everything, because design is so, so vast. And I've seen like a lot of people who are trying to make the switch, they are always trying to learn like everything and know everything. But you'll never know everything, because there are so many articles, there are so many podcasts, there are so many papers. You can't like really know everything, and it's always evolving. There are always new concepts coming. So you'll keep on learning, and don't be afraid that there's something which you're missing or something which you've not learned. It'll eventually come. Finally, I would say that believe in yourself. When I was making that switch, I had a lot of doubt that, you know, am I doing it right? I'm giving up all my software engineering placements and I'm looking for a design job. But I would say that if you really have that passion, just believe in yourself, you will eventually get there.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And like something in the design realm that's not really talked about in the development realm is like, I think there's a huge discussion on like, should designers code, and kind of this push for like designers to have competency on the development side. But there's not a lot of discussion on like, should developers design? And I think if you are an engineer and you're like, ah, maybe I like product design, or maybe I want to switch, it's like, I think there's also a path that you could go down and say, like, I want to be an engineer who's just like super focused on good user experience. It doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other. It's just like, and maybe that even gives you an edge, because I think there's kind of this mantra of like, I'm a dev, I don't think about anything design, I just implement it pixel perfect. And if I can do that, then, you know, that's my job. But I think there might be a unicorn on the engineering side where it says, like, hey, I'm really good at engineering, but I also really care about UX design. And I'm going to be a student of this and be awesome at it and be able to participate in those types of conversations without having to give up like my engineering background or my core skill set as an engineer.
I think those kind of engineers are so good to collaborate with, honestly, because I worked with one such engineer before coming to my master's degree, and she was super interested in user experience. She had a very unique perspective, and she also used to, you know, suggest me these different patterns, which she thought could do the same job, but would be easier to code, or which would take like lesser engineering resource. So I think working with those kind of people is also so awesome. But I also feel that if developers start designing properly, then probably the design would be very limited, because there's always a thought in their mind that, you know, what I'm designing, I have to code that as well. So, you know, probably you never know, like, if you would get like some very crazy idea, would you just like reject it and not have it on the table at all?
So, right. You'd be more pragmatic about your designs for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good point. But yeah, I think one theme that we've, you know, heard in this podcast is like, it doesn't hurt to know more about the fields and skill sets that surround yours, even if they're not yours. So it's like, it is never a bad thing to know more context about front end development.
Yeah.
It's never going to hurt you to know more about user experience design, even if that's not your job. It just makes you a more valuable player on the team.
Yeah.
And I think the more you close yourself off to that is to your own detriment. So you can't be an expert in everything, and you shouldn't try to be, but I think you can't close yourself off to understanding these technologies and the implications of any field within the creative space.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as a designer, your job is not only, you know, to make things pretty or, you know, to make something usable, but it is also understanding all these different perspectives of a business. Like, there would be something which the sales team really, you know, wants in your product, or something which the operations team wants, or, you know, something which the engineers also want to develop. You also have to consider all of these resources and how your designs are going to help all these sections of the business instead of just coding it. So I think it's like a balance of all of the, you know, different operations in the business, and having knowledge of like everything really helps.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're kind of at this really interesting part in your career journey where you've made the switch to UX and product design. You've got an internship, and you actually had a number of offers from different internship opportunities. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about how many offers you had and how you were able to, you know, secure so many different offers for internship opportunities?
I definitely think that it was so, so difficult, because I didn't work at very fancy companies in India before, and I didn't have that much experience as, you know, my peers over here. Everybody has come from, like, you know, like a design background. I did have like really good jobs. So I always had that fear in me that, you know, would I be able to do it or not? But I think working hard is something which I found to be very useful, and just like not giving up, because you encounter with so many rejections. Like, yes, I did get many offers, but I got rejected by more companies.
Yeah.
I think I got rejected by like 20, 30 firms. And I think not taking that rejection seriously and just like taking all the feedback which you get critically, working on and just moving past it would really help, because searching for a job is such a difficult time mentally, and you have so many things going on with your school. You get all these rejections, and then you're also studying for the interviews. And it's very difficult to stay focused. So I think like just dealing very nicely with rejection really helps. And I think starting early is something which really, really helped me during my interviews, because I like a lot of companies start opening up their applications in like August. And by August, you need to, you know, be ready with your portfolio, your resume. And people who start in the fall semester also usually start in August. So it's usually like when they start applying for internships, it's kind of a little late with start applying in October or November. So starting early is something which helped me when I was like doing all these interviews with my school. There often came circumstances when I had to prioritize, so I kind of at that time focused on what was important and what needed to be done at that time. Prioritizing helps a lot, because I think you can't do everything which you want to do. So I think, yeah, that helped me a lot.
Yeah.
It's always very nice to build all these meaningful relationships with people, because getting into big companies is so difficult. Building meaningful relationships is so, so difficult because you often see all these people on LinkedIn and you don't know how to approach them. But when you go and talk to people, learn about their journeys, get some advice from them, it's always nice to, you know, learn how these people have reached where they are. Take their feedback and you learn from them, and then you eventually know what you have to do and what you don't have to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I got offers from Facebook, Amazon, PwC, Discovery, and Sezzle. I worked at Sezzle in my spring semester, and I'm an incoming intern at Facebook now.
Wow. So just to kind of review, you are an individual who did not have a background in design. You came from a different country. You are a woman breaking into tech, and you were able to land like 5 different internship opportunities by humongous companies. That is amazing. And absolutely, this is not meant to come across the wrong way. But I think, you know, for anyone listening, like if you can do this, anyone can do this, right?
Yep.
And it's just getting to that secret sauce of like how you did this. And I think you spoke a little bit to that in just your grit in being able to persevere and continue and to not take rejection personally, but to take it and improve from it. So maybe we start off just talking about like, how did you even find these internships in the first place to apply to?
Yeah. So the funny part was I always wanted to work at Meta, and the very first job alert which I ever set was Facebook. So I went to Facebook's portal and I set like a job alert for UX design internships. I did so for other companies as well that I really wanted to work at. And I also went and set all these different job alerts on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is a super wonderful source of finding different jobs. Indeed was one of them. So yeah, I used to regularly get all these job notifications every morning, browsing through all these different jobs, seeing if any companies have opened their jobs. And then, you know, approaching people from those companies, asking them if they are willing to refer me to a position.
Oh, how did that go?
So as I said, like building meaningful relationships is so important. I had started talking to people from a really long time. I was working on my portfolio. I was trying to get their feedback. You know, people who are working at all these big companies, and I already had their, you know, mentor internships. So they were ready to, you know, like refer me to all of these positions. So
wow. That
worked out well for me. And,
So you weren't just blindly applying to these, doing like the normal, like LinkedIn, just like quick apply. You were kind of laying the groundwork with meeting people, networking people from these companies, building relationships before actually applying to these.
Yes. And that is so important, because blindly applying to these companies very rarely helps you, because it's so difficult that there are so, so many applicants, and, you know, everybody is good. Like most of the people have experience, you know, many people have worked on a lot more projects than you have. But if you have that support of that one person who's vouching for you, who says that, you know, they have seen your work, they've seen your passion in design, I think that really, really helps you with your job application. So that having connections is so important. So important.
That's fascinating. Yeah, it's kind of like creating a little side door in a way. So I think that's fantastic advice. I can even attest to, you know, people who have just like reached out to me in the past and just kind of made a connection and wanting to connect about maybe some future potential opportunity at UX Cabin. So I think anytime that you can have a warm introduction, have a referral, is going to put you immediately to the top of the list versus just randomly applying to something.
I always feel that, you know, getting a referral shouldn't be your sole goal, I would say. You know, it's always about talking to other people and understanding their journey, getting their feedback on your work, because they have gone through the exact same steps which you want to go through. They have done their share of interviews. They have also interviewed a lot of people. So their perspective on your portfolio is so important. I think I spent a lot of time before actually applying for jobs, talking to so many people, getting their feedback on my portfolio, writing all of the feedback down and keep, you know, iterating on my portfolio just to make sure that I'm taking advice of most of these people, most advice, I would say. I don't think I've taken all of the advice, but I made sure that I spoke to everybody because it's so important to understand everybody's perspective. I think it's like being a designer over here also, because, you know, when you're a designer, you also take feedback from everybody else. You talk to users because your product is going to be used by them. I think same with job applications also. Your portfolio is going to be seen by the recruiters, the hiring managers. So always getting their feedback before you actually make the application really helps.
Yeah. So maybe walk us through like your process for connecting with folks. Like, do you just send them like a random LinkedIn message? Do you find their email? Like, what goes into that initial, you know, message that is interesting enough for them to engage and reply?
Well, I think I did a lot of LinkedIn cold messaging also, but it was not like, you know, hey, would you give me a referral? But it was more like, you know, I like your journey. I did go to their LinkedIn profile. I studied what they used to do before. I went to their portfolio. I saw their projects and I found that, okay, they are doing some really interesting work. They have a very inspiring journey. So I used to like message them. There's also this mentorship platform called ADP List. And I used to go on that and find mentors, talk to them. I spoke to so many people, and sometimes you'd find that there are a few mentors who you really sync up with, like they are just amazing. Whatever they tell you, it's always like, oh yeah, they are right. There are some mentors who you wouldn't find super helpful, but I think I found most of them very helpful. I had been like so many connections after that, and after every call, I used to feel very happy that I spoke to somebody and got their feedback on my work. I had like a list of actionables every time I spoke to them, and I knew what I wanted to do next. There were also mentors who told me that, Simran, now you need to stop and now you need to start applying for jobs, because as a young designer, there's always this thing of overworking on your portfolio, trying to make it perfect, but it never will be perfect. So these people always were there for me. They always told me, okay, Simran, now you need to stop. Now you need to start applying for jobs. There's a lot more things which are going to come ahead. And I think talking to people was so helpful.
Yeah. So you would find mentors on ADP List. You would reach out to folks in a really thoughtful way. I think one really good takeaway from that is like people like to hear about themselves. They like to hear, you know, praise about themselves. They like to hear like in it, encouraging words. So it's like, if you come off the bat and you're just like, hey, can you give me a reference for your company? That's like jumping way too far in the end of the deep end before you've offered any sort of value or conversation or friendship to someone. And love your approach in, you know, kind of studying their background and their portfolio and just, you know, being curious about them. And I think that's probably why you saw a lot of success in being able to connect and network with these folks.
And I think it also helps to talk to them and show your passion. So because if they are referring you, they are kind of vouching for you. So if they understand that you are somebody who has really done well, or even if you don't have enough experience, you are somebody who, you know, has a lot of passion for the work which you are going to be doing, I think they'd be like happy to, you know, refer you. But it's just about like building that relationship first.
Yeah. So, you know, we've kind of talked about the very beginning, the tip of the spear, getting that first warm introduction. But there's a lot more that goes into getting an offer than just the initial application. So, you know, we got interviews, we got portfolio reviews, we got all sorts of things. What were your interviews like and how did you navigate those in a good way?
So my very first interview, which I got from PwC, was all about like behavioral questions, and I had to like literally prepare in one day. I got an interview like on Wednesday, a request on Wednesday, and I was supposed to interview on Thursday. So it was mostly a behavioral interview. I've seen like a lot of people just like die hard taking questions and answers, but what I did was I just like reflected on my experiences. I just remembered what I did in my first job, what I did in my second job, what I'm currently doing in my master's program, what I did in my engineering, very much like a conversation rather than, you know, like a formal interview. And the interviewer also was super happy with me because we spoke about a lot of things, not just design. We spoke about like our hobbies, then what we like to do in our free time. And it was very nice. So I think being confident and being honest really helps in behavioral interviews. And just like don't make up stories, but just tell what really happened. Just be honest with like your entire journey. And even if you don't have that experience, the interviewer would really understand that, you know, you are somebody who is really liking what you're doing. You have that you know, passion for what you want to do. And they would really like you in that case. For portfolio presentation, I think I did so much research, and practicing is the key for like everything. We have peers around us. We have professors. We have so many different people, mentors from ADP List or LinkedIn. You always go make a portfolio presentation, present it to them, get their feedback and rework on it. And for app critique also, I would say that you have so many peers just like gather together on a Sunday or on a weekend. Just like everybody could do like one app critique. When you listen to different people, you'll understand that, you know, how they think and what you're lacking, or, you know, you give feedback to each other, you share. I think that is the best way to like study for the interviews.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So, you know, as you're interviewing, what do you think the employers are looking for, or the hiring managers are looking for in these internship type of jobs? Are they looking for, you know, more so someone who is like eager and passionate and a good fit? Or are they looking for someone who is specifically geared towards the technical skill set of the position? What are they looking for from your perspective?
I think it kind of depends on the companies, but the ones which I have interviewed for, I wouldn't say that my interview was perfect. I had a few set of skills which they wanted in an intern, but I also did not have everything which they want. I think one thing which they are looking for is if you are eager to learn or not. If you show that, you know, you're not somebody who's like stubborn with what knowledge you have, but you're always willing to read about, you know, like different topics which are there, we'll keep learning. I think that is what, that is a skill which they are looking for. And I think that also kind of helps. So it's fine that you don't have like literally all of the skills which are mentioned in the job description, but be willing to, you know, like open up and be willing to learn from them. I think that is what they're looking for, according to me.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. I think honesty in saying like, I don't know, versus like a muffled answer. Like if you can just be honest versus try to sidestep it, you're going to look better in the eyes of the interviewer for sure. But yeah, so maybe we talk a little bit about your portfolio and What were your strategies in that? Well, like, what did you learn that you changed in your portfolio from like your initial stab at it to where it is today?
Well, there were so many iterations, I would say. And I think that was kind of one of the mistakes which I had made, was overworking on my portfolio. Portfolio is just something which gets you that initial, you know, interview. And after that, literally, like, it's all about your portfolio presentation and how you interview. So I think not overworking on your portfolio is very important, because you always try to make it so perfect and it never is. And I think just getting an MVP of portfolio and then just like stopping and then focusing on everything else really works. But I think a few of the tips which work for my portfolio was, first of all, making it scannable, because a lot of people are not going to spend like 10, 15 minutes reading each and every part of your case study, but they are just going to scan through it. So make proper use of titles. Like, titles are so important. Instead of naming the title as problem statement, you can actually write down the problem statement in a few words title. So, you know, making better use of these titles. I think one very nice advice which I got from one of my seniors was that make your portfolio scannable in such a way that a person should be able to read it in 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 minutes, and 10 minutes. So, you know, making use of all these titles and writing descriptions. Images play such an important role, because if a job description says that you need to know why you're framing, and if you have an image which has where you've made different sketches or things, I think that really syncs up that, okay, I'm in need of somebody who knows how to do competitor analysis, or, you know, somebody who does journey mapping, somebody who does wireframing. And if you have all of those points in your portfolio, really, really helps. I think one advice which I had got was also like making your portfolio short. But I was never able to do it, because I wanted to present like everything I had. Every time I went and tried to shorten my portfolio, I could never do that. But that was one of the advice which I got. And then I think storytelling was so important in the portfolio, because a recruiter sees so many portfolios every day. Like, it's just like the same thing which is happening. So how do you tell your story? What is unique about your project which you have presented in your case study? Telling a story about, you know, like how, what are some obstacles which you encountered and how did you overcome them? You know, what did you do as a designer which was, you know, different from everything else? Write about like your impacts, you know, the metrics afterwards. Like, did you show it to the users? Did they find? And then also reflecting on your project, like, what did you learn from it? As an intern, again, they want somebody who can learn a lot of things. So, you know, what did you learn from this project? What were the mistakes you made? What would you do differently? So I think highlighting all of those points in your portfolio really helps. But knowing when to stop is, again, super important.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your portfolio now. And to kind of just verbally describe it, I'm looking on here and I don't see anywhere on the page that really has more than like three lines of text before it is broken up by some other element. Like, you've got titles, you've got banners, you've got callouts with numbers, callouts with emojis, images that separate the text, quotes that give it visual hierarchy, very good use of different column structures, different headers and subheaders that really break it up. And
yeah,
you can scan it and, you know where you are. You can dive deeper and read through each point. But I think this is a fantastic portfolio to have a lot of information, but in a really digestible manner. And so I think pairing this sort of portfolio with your approach to networking is a silver bullet for sure.
Yeah. And I think like everything which you see in my portfolio wasn't like my first iteration. I would say that was literally like my 100th iteration, because I showed it to so many people and I did have that problem of, you know, like overwriting something or writing like big chunks of paragraph, but, you know, connecting with people and talking to them. They really helped me shorten the text, and they showed me that, you know, Simran, this is not needed. You don't need this section, just remove it. So, you know, feedback was so important to get to the stage where I am currently from the first version of my portfolio.
Yeah, that is great. So what was the feedback in your portfolio reviews? Was it honest and open feedback, or were they, you know, did they look through it and just say, okay, thank you, we'll consider this? Or did you get like feedback in your interviews?
Well, there were a few mentors who told me, you know, it's fine and you should go. But there were other mentors whose advice I found so valuable. They scanned literally like everything on my portfolio. They were so kind enough to, you know, like take out the time and go through each and every word I had written. They told me that it was not good, or it was not going to work. They were very open about it. Sometimes after getting on the call, I used to feel that, you know, I have so much to work on, and I used to kind of get overwhelmed at that point. But, you know, I knew that now I've made a list of actionables. This is something which I'm going to prioritize. And then I used to kind of like work through it. I used to again reach back to these mentors and ask them that, hey, I've made the changes which you just told me. Would you be willing to, you know, like get on another call with me? Eventually, when I started doing that, that is when a few of my mentors started telling me that, okay, Simran, now you've reached your MVP, now you can stop and now start applying and try to focus on what's next. You have other set of actionables through which you can make your portfolio better, but that's for later. You don't have to prioritize it right now, but
yeah,
you keep on doing it later.
Now, in your application process, did you do anything extra? Send a video overview or send like a direct email to the hiring person? Or was there any edge that you gave yourself outside of the normal application process other than having that network of potential referrals?
I think after you get that first set of interview, and like if you go ahead in the process, I think the recruiters and the hiring managers, at least the ones which I've met, are very, very kind enough to, you know, always like follow up on, you know, if I've been selected for the next round or if I haven't been. I think one thing I do after all of my interviews is like just write an email saying that, you know, thank you for your time and it was very nice speaking to you, just so that probably they remember me. But it's always also about like, yeah, they have taken their time to talk to you, and even after the interview, they are very kind enough to give the feedback, and it's always wonderful talking to them. So I do write an email after every interview of mine, just thanking them for it.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
Did you have to write any cover letters or anything like that?
I've never written a cover letter, never.
Interesting. What about resume? Did you have to spend a lot of time on your resume?
Yes, I did. So I think resumes are very important when it comes to applying for jobs. And there are also these, I don't think like when you apply for a job, a recruiter, I think in most companies, they don't go through everybody's resumes, but there's an automatic machine which actually reads your resumes and then determines if you're a good fit or not. So designing for that, or designing your resume for that, is also so important. I had made my first resume on Figma, which wasn't very trackable with these systems. So so I used to like get instant rejection. So I spoke to so many people. I did a lot of research, and I found that, you know, if you make it on Google Docs or Word or Pages, that would like really help. So I converted my resume from Figma to Google Docs. And then there are a lot of these ATS websites where you can go. So there's jobscan.co, where you actually enter the job description, you put your resume, and then you see if it's like a match or not. So that really helped me at this
point. Wow.
If my resume is trackable or not. So I did a lot of work on my resume. Also like highlighting the impacts, and, you know, I think some things which are measurable, like how many screens are designed or how many users I talk to, how many interviews conducted. I think all of that on my resume also helped me.
Yeah, I'm looking at your resume right now, and it is, I think as designers, like you probably wanted to design it in Figma and make it look really nice and be like, I'm a designer. See, my resume proves it. But in looking at your existing resume, like it's laid out very nice, but it does not have any like special design to it. You know, it's basically title with text and bullet points, and it's one page. And I'm guessing that is intentional. Did you want to keep it to simply one page, or did it just kind of work out that way?
Oh, I wanted to keep it one page because that was an advice which a lot of my seniors gave, that, you know, you never make two-page resumes. It should be something which fits in one page, because nobody is going to sit down and read 2 pages of your resume. You have to shorten it to just like one page. You have to tell them that you are capable of doing a particular job in just one page. So it was a lot of struggle, I would say, but I did shorten a lot of things to keep it in one page. When I was making my resume for the very first time, I actually made it very decorative with like a lot of colors.
Right.
But many seniors told me that, you know, all of this formatting kind of gets washed out when your their system is tracking your resume. So there's no point. So try making it as simpler as possible so that the machine reads the important things and does not focus on like removing formatting.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm looking at your resume and I am seeing that all of your work experience is very directed towards product design experience.
Yeah.
So you did not include any of your engineering background, and I'm guessing that was specific and intentional as well.
Oh, this is my current resume because I have done like since I have come to the United States, and just like 1 year before that, I have been doing a lot of work in product design. That is why it is like...
Sure.
But during my very first job application, or even like last year when I was making my application for internships, I did have my experiences from engineering. So I worked as a developer during my bachelor's degree. And I also included, but I kind of wrote it in a different way, because when I was also developing that, I was also responsible for the front-end development. So I also did some sort of designing, initial design. So, you know, I wrote it in a way that it seemed like I'm also designed and developed something.
Sure.
So, you know, making your resume very relevant to the job which you're applying to really helps.
Yeah, I think it's tough because some people are coming into like a career switch, and the only thing that they have relevant to the job is maybe a boot camp or like freelance projects. So I think there's certainly some strategy to being able to like look back on your previous experience and be like, what can I take from this? What can I include in this that is relevant for product design? Like maybe you're doing product design type of things as a receptionist or as a, you know, customer service rep. Like, I don't know, think about it, be creative.
What I've seen like a lot of people do is, even if you don't have that experience with respect to like design, a lot of people take on these personal projects because there are so many problem statements that you see currently. They take on that problem statement, they work on it, and they just like write that in form of projects on their resume just to, you know, make sure that I have done something in design, and yes, I have done it. So it's worth writing and it is relevant. So yeah, I think even I had done, like I found the internet is full with so many amazing problem statements which you can just like start designing. And I also had done something like that when I didn't have enough things to write on my resume. Just pick a problem statement or try working on it and include it in your resume. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm looking here. You have obviously work experience. You have contact information. You have education, you have skills. I'm guessing in this skills area might be the place where you are putting those specific terms that the computer might notice that. So that's definitely a good strategy. But then you also have this area for leadership of like, you know, what you've done as a mentor, how you've helped fellow students, how you've published things on Medium and started to make a personal brand. So I think, you know, this is definitely a good example to follow that we'll link up in the show notes for others to, you know, be able to look at and take inspiration from.
Yeah, definitely. And I think all of these sections, I would say I did not have them when I was starting. I knew that, okay, there are a few things which are, so for example, leadership. I do not have enough examples of leadership. So I started like, you know, working on those things. So I think one very important advice which one of my mentors had given me was making word clouds. So I used to read job descriptions of Facebook, Microsoft. I used to like make word clouds and I used to see what skills are something which are, you know, common in all of these. And I tried including those skills on my resume. Not that I don't know how to do it. I know how to do it and I tried to, you know, be very specific about what I'm writing. So I kind of did that research also that, you know, what is the term which is going on in the industry? And I tried to include those.
Yeah, that's great. Kind of just wrapping up this episode, there's tons of people out there who are trying to break in or trying to switch careers and kind of hitting a wall. What advice would you give to people who maybe they've applied for 1,000 internships and 1,000 jobs and they can't seem to make any traction? What advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, build connections because connections help you so much. They really help you. Like I cannot like emphasize on the importance of building meaningful relationships with people. Oh, I would say the next thing is do not overwork your portfolio. I've seen a lot of people spending so much time on their portfolio that they sometimes literally miss the application deadline or they just don't apply for their job because they think that my portfolio isn't good enough. Just go ahead and apply. It's fine if you don't get it. You'll understand, but don't postpone your application just for your portfolio. Then I would say that if you do not have relevant work to show, pick out projects or do a lot of, you know, personal projects. There are so many prompts on internet where you can go and find a problem statement. So start working on. You'll always like in the end, if you do it properly, you'll always have a portfolio piece to put if you don't have any work experience. And I think one thing which I've seen is that people do not make early applications, and that is something which has worked for me. Every time job opened, I made sure that I applied in the first 24 hours because I've seen that a lot of people delaying it because either their portfolio is not finished, their resume is not finished. So I used to spend like 2 hours every day making sure that if there's a new job, I apply to it as soon as possible because I think early application helps.
I can attest to that too, the early application perspective. For just when we launched our internship, we had a ton of people applying and just the nature of, I don't know, human psychology, I was really interested in who was applying at first and I paid a lot of close attention to the initial applications just because I'm like, I don't know how we're going to get it. Like, I'm going to look at the first ones that come in. But then, I mean, we had so many that honestly, I couldn't even look at all of the ones that came in at the end. Right. So it was like, I think that's fantastic advice. I think, you know, you have really helped give a template, a framework for people to be able to successfully stand out from the crowd in a really crowded space. And I think your strategies can work for anyone. And I think kind of what you said in the beginning of just like, this is a lot of hard work and you have to be willing to do these things that are necessary to, you know, get those interviews, get noticed, make connections. And it's like, there's no automated or shortcut way for that. And that barrier to entry is kind of nice because it means that like, if you're doing it, there's probably not a ton of other people doing it. So you can do the hard work to stand out, but it is going to take work.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of work.
Absolutely. Well, Simran, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for the time. And I wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful talking to you too.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today on the Product Design Podcast. If you enjoyed our conversation, be sure and go follow our guests. Let them know they did a great job and you learned a lot. More to come in the following weeks as we bring on new guests. Please hit that subscribe button so that you will get these podcasts and learn a ton about the product design community. Excited to see you next time. Thanks.